Today's scripture comes from Mark 16, verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us to enter the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they lay him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
This is precisely what I feared. His disciples must have come in the night, removed the stone, and taken away the body.
Impossible. I had guards here, as you requested.
And your priests were here, too.
It all begins
pretty moving scene from that movie from the 90s, Jesus of Nazareth. Which would you rather be, empty or full? Full, sure. Full is a good thing, right? Empty, not so good a thing. Us preachers, we love to see a full church on Sunday morning, especially Easter Sunday, but any Sunday will do. It's always good to have a full church. It's nice to have a full stomach. Nice big hearty meal, big breakfast, big lunch, makes you feel good. We all like a full checking account and a full pantry at home with lots of good things to eat. And at $4 a gallon, we all like to have a full tank of gas, don't we? People say, "I live a pretty full life." I've heard people say that. I live a full life, or he or she lives a full life. What does that mean? What does it mean to live a full life? Does it mean there are no needs in that person's life? Is there no worries, no concerns? They've got enough money to live on. They're comfortable with their lifestyle and how they're living, and their gas gauge always seems to be on full. Well, more power to them. I'm sorry, but if your life is full, then this Easter message is not for you. I'm going to try to help unpack that a little bit this morning. Easter is not for the have it all together, life is good people, but for people who are empty. People who are empty. When you think about it, being full is a temporary situation. When you're full of food, guess what? This time tomorrow, you're going to be hungry again. When your closet is full of nothing to wear, as my wife likes to say. Did you catch that? Closet full of nothing to wear. Eventually, those clothes are going to wear out. If your gas tank is full, guess what? It doesn't take very long for that gas tank to be empty. Even after that Easter dinner that you're going to have later on today, all that delicious Easter ham or turkey and deviled eggs, you're going to be hungry again. But what does it mean to be empty? What does it mean to be empty? Well, maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe you've lost your job. Maybe there is some internal strife in your family. There's some broken relationship. Maybe there's a fear that constantly haunts you. Or you battle with lingering depression in your lives. Maybe your marriage is in trouble. Maybe there are struggles in your relationship with your spouse or your kids who drive you crazy. You feel hopeless and you face impossible situations on a regular basis. I think that's part of what being empty means. The good news today is that Easter is not for full people, but for empty people. You heard about three empty people in Ray's reading of the gospel from Mark. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome. Three women who were followers of Jesus, who did not run away like the men, folk. Three women who went to the tomb whose only concern that morning was, who's going to roll the stone away? Who's going to roll the stone away? They were going there to prepare Jesus' body for a proper burial. And on their way, an angel speaks to them and says, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going on ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone and were afraid. Did you hear those words sprinkled in that passage? Amazement, terrorized, speechless, afraid. The empty tomb. We could be tempted to see emptiness as a bad thing. But in fact, it's actually a good thing. The Apostle Paul talks about the empty tomb, in a sense, the resurrection of Jesus, as a good thing. He says in 1 Corinthians 15, "If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who have died in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are all of most people to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human being. For as all die in Adam, all will be made alive in Christ." If Jesus has not risen, then Jesus was just another dead teacher or dead prophet. And they were a dime a dozen in Jesus' day. If Jesus is still in a grave somewhere, there is no way to the Creator. If Jesus is still dead, then there is no purpose to this life. If Jesus is still dead, there is no life after death. No hope in this life, nor in the life to come. Just emptiness. Jesus is not dead. He is risen. Risen indeed. Just checking. The empty tomb is good news this morning, folks. It is the best news of all. It is good news because everything that Jesus taught and promised has come true. It's good news because Jesus has good things for all of those who are empty. It's good news because God's gift of grace is available to all people. it's good news, because all of our mistakes, all of our mess-ups, screw-ups, whatever you want to call it, sins have been laid aside by God. Because of the empty tomb, according to Paul, we get a glimpse of our own future resurrection when Jesus returns. And not only that, we will see our loved ones again. So which category do you fall into this morning? Full, no worries, no concerns, no cares, lots of everything filling your life? That's an important question today, because if you're full, if you're already full, then there's no room for the good things that Jesus has to give you. If you're empty, then the promises of Easter are just waiting to fill you, and to fill your heart, and to fill your life. Now, on Easter Sunday, and you could even say Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, there may be a few skeptics amongst us, as my grandmother used to say, amongst us. We may have a few doubting Thomases here today that have come with relatives or friends who doubt the resurrection, who think this resurrection stuff, this empty tomb stuff, this Easter stuff is all a bunch of hooey, a fairy tale, a legend, a myth, if you will. Maybe you're here today because your wife made you go to church today, or your husband, or your kids. We're glad you're here, even if you only hear Christmas and Easter. Praise God that you're here to hear the most important message in life, that Christ is risen. Maybe you believe this resurrection story is a story for old women and little kids. If you're here today and you still refuse to believe that the resurrection is true, that's okay. But at least you should want it to be true. Why? Why? Because if Christ is risen, death does not have the final word. If Christ is risen, a kingdom is coming that will end all wars, all strife, all disagreements. If Christ is risen, poverty will one day cease to exist. If Christ is risen, sickness will be no more. There will be no more tears, no more sickness, no more cancer, no more need for a children's hospitals. If Christ is risen, everyone who's lost a spouse or a child, grief will be overshadowed by the glory of Christ. Our natural disaster-riddled planet, full of tornadoes and tsunamis and earthquakes and brush fires and forest fires, will be replaced with a calm creation, a peaceful creation. If Christ is risen, the deaf, the blind, the lame, the slow of mind, the slow of tongue will be made whole. This morning we sang at the 8 o'clock service. We'll sing again at 11. Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. Do we believe what we sing on Easter Sunday? Up from the grave he arose. He lives. Christ the Lord is risen today. No, you don't have to believe the resurrection story, but deep down, you should want to believe it for these very reasons. My sermon today began with the question, which would you rather be, empty or full? Remember, being empty is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Because the empty tomb means that Jesus is alive. The empty tomb means that you are ready to be filled with the good things that Jesus has to give you in your emptiness. If you're empty, you're running on empty, then Jesus is the kind, you're the kind of person that Jesus rose for, to give you hope, to give you the fullness of God, to give you life. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with a full pantry, nothing wrong with a full checking account, nothing wrong with a full gas tank or a house full of furniture. But when it comes to Easter, empty is not just great. Empty is everything. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this glorious day in your church around the world as we celebrate Easter, as we celebrate resurrection, as we remember this day that even though you died on the cross on Friday, the grave could not hold you. And glory to God, you have risen. You have risen indeed. Lord God, I pray that if anyone here today has any doubts whatsoever, to allow Jesus to come into their hearts and to fill their empty void that only you can fill. I pray that something that was said or something that was sung or done here today, maybe it's during communion in just a few moments, that they will know your closeness, that they will know your very presence, and will come and live within them. Father God, let this be the day of salvation for someone here today. Let this be the day of hope. Let this be the day of truth. Let this be a day where your love surrounds us all in this place. And as we go from here back out into our worlds, Lord, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you, our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.